Well, we thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessings. We wanted the Lord just to have His way, want what the Lord has for us, however the Lord wants to deliver that. So we ask an interest in your prayers this morning. Fourth chapter of Genesis, I'd like to share the burden the Lord had placed on my heart. Going back to a very familiar passage of Scripture and a story that many of us are very aware of. Like to speak about a more excellent sacrifice. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." There are a lot of stories and different commentaries where people have taken their imaginations and written about what happened with Cain and Abel. And I've done quite a bit of reading from different historians and different theologians and different commentators about the story of Cain and Abel. And I will say the Scripture does not tell us very much. And when we get outside of what the Scripture says about Cain and Abel, we can't always just say definitively, this is the way that it was. There are some things the Scripture tells us the way that it is, and there are other things that are ideas and some possibilities. And I would like to share just a few of those and interwoven in with what we have to share this morning. But keep in mind here that these were the first two sons of Adam and Eve. So in essence, they were the first two children on the face of the earth. Adam and Eve were created to our knowledge as adults, as we know it. And so Cain and Abel were the first children that ever were born in the world. And it is also interesting to note that in the Hebrew practice, names had meaning and they had significance. And there were many times, even in the Scripture, where someone's name was very closely tied to the characteristics of that person. Now, the word Cain, there's multiple definitions of the word, what Cain means. One of them is spear. And there have been some that have taken that and said, well, now Cain killed Abel and his name meant spear. So were there any connections there? We leave that to your mind to make those decisions. But one of the things that Cain means, and I believe is more accurate, it means to acquire or to possess something. Now keep in mind that the Scripture, the way the Scripture reads, it says that Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. In other words, the Lord has given me a possession of a man. I possess a child, and so they named him Cain, or possess, to possess or acquire. And I believe that is a more accurate, probably, reading of the Hebrew writing. He had been acquired from the Lord. Now, there to acquire or possess in time, there have been commentators that have taken that and applied the name Cain to be a greedy grasper. Someone that wanted, because as you know the story, and we will read the rest of it, that Cain killed his brother Abel. Because his sacrifice was not acceptable. And so there have been later on in years people use that word to talk about greed. It is also interesting that the word Cain means to create or to found. And you know who created or founded or possessed the first city? It was Cain. When Cain was sent out by God as a punishment to be a wanderer, it was Cain that founded the first city or the first civilization, as it were. And so it was also representative of someone that was a founder. Jubal, who was a descendant of Cain, was the founder or inventor of musical instruments. It was from the descendants of Cain, I believe, that they worked with metal. So they founded or possessed those types of things. Those are just interesting tidbits as we begin to read and understand the story of Cain and Abel. Abel, on the other hand, means to breathe, or it means a vapor. And there are those that have taken that word vapor, and we know how brief that Abel's life was. He did not live life to the fullest because his life was cut short. And you know, that should be a reminder to all of us this morning that our lives are also very short. We do not know how long our lives will be. And so Abel, as it was just a breath, his life was truly a vapor. It also means to be empty of substance or sorrow. And if there was any life that represented sorrow, it would be that of a young man whose life was brought to a close before he lived it to the fullest. You know, that's what brings some of the greatest sorrows. When someone gets to be in old age and they've lived a good life and they pass on, there's sadness because of separation, but at the same time, they live their life. They had a full life, but it's when those that were taken out of season, children and young people, that it brings the grief is greater because we look at their potential in the things that they were never able to do in life. And so Abel, his life was one as his sorrow, empty of substance. It was transitory, shortness of life. We find very different perspectives depending on who's writing about this. I have read of those that have represented Cain as a greedy, hard, mean type of person. And those that have postulated that Cain, that Abel was one that was just a good man and a gentle man, and so Cain ended up killing Abel. But do you know that as the firstborn son, and we read about how God dealt with Cain, as the firstborn son, and I know this was the beginning of the firstborn, Cain was the firstborn of the firstborn. But there was something that God said that seemed to indicate that Cain did have a position of authority over his younger brother. Well, let's read on just a little bit. Before we do, it said that Eve conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. Now there's something in here that maybe you haven't taken note of before, or maybe you have, but she conceived how many times does this say? The scripture says she conceived and bare Cain and she again bare. Now, the scripture does not ever say in black and white that Cain and Abel were twins. All right? But there are a number of very reputable commentators and historians that believe, based on the way the Hebrew was written, that Cain and Abel were twins. Because she conceived, and she bare Cain, and she again bare Abel. And the word again in the Hebrew indicates that that word again means to add something. She bore her son and she added to that and bore another son. Again, there's no deep doctrinal point to be made here other than it brings a little bit, it enlarges the picture just a little bit, does it not? To recognize, because when you look at the way that the Hebrew's written with the twins that we do know of in the scripture, it talks about conceiving and bearing. Conceiving once, bearing twice. Others, when they had multiple sons, she conceived and she bare. She conceived and she bare. So there is some evidence that would indicate that these were two brothers, but Cain, regardless, was the firstborn. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that's another way for saying he was what? He was a farmer. And you know that that's what his father Adam was? Adam, when he was sent out of the Garden of Eden, was sent out to take care of the ground, was he not? And so the eldest son, is it not tradition? And where did it come from? We have evidence from the very beginning that many times, and I know today in our society it's not like that as often, But in ancient times, the firstborn son was the one that would follow in his father's footsteps. My father's a farmer, and the eldest son was a farmer, and so the second son many times would go out and be a soldier or a theologian, a priest, depending on the time and the century. And then the third son, many times they'd go look for something else to do. And so it is here that Cain was a tiller of the ground. And he went out, took care of the ground, followed his father's profession, and Abel, it said, was a keeper of the sheep. Why did they need sheep? They needed clothes, did they not? Do you know that when Adam and Eve clothed themselves with the leaves of the trees and the figs, that there was not acceptable cloth. It was not acceptable to clothe their bodies. And it said one of the first things God did before he even dealt with them spiritually, he put clothes on their body. Do you know that that ought to tell us something here today? We live in a society that's leaving the clothes off and professing Christ. But even in the very beginning, one of the first things that happened when sin entered the world, that God clothed them with the skin of the animals to be able to more fully cover their bodies. And you know, in many other countries, if you see someone that is not clothed, it's because they are not in their right mind. When you are in other countries that don't have insane asylums, in some of the countries that I go, you'll see people walking naked down the road. It's an indication they're not in their right mind. They've taken their clothes off. But here in the United States, they say they're in their right mind and they're taking their clothes off. But something's wrong, folks. Because from the beginning, God clothed them with the skin of the animals. And we find, and they were also used for sacrifice. And so we find that Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And that was, there is a long line of keepers of the sheep that came after Abel. Were there not? We read of David being a keeper of the sheep. And the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ himself, one that is watching over and caring and taking care of the sheep. And so it said in verse 3 that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, very wroth, and his countenance fell. Like to leave off there for just a moment. In the process of time, there are some that believe the wording would indicate it was the Sabbath day that came. But it said in the process of time, these two young men, they brought their offering to the Lord. Where did they get that from? Do you know the law of Moses had not yet been given? It was the law of Moses that told and laid out by the law that these are the offerings and these are the sacrifices. But even before the time of Moses, we read of the early patriarchs of old offering sacrifices to God. You know who offered the first sacrifices? It was Adam and Eve, wasn't it? Do you know that it is noteworthy that Cain and Abel offering sacrifices to God, they learned that from their parents. Do you know that ought to be a challenge to the parents here this morning? That our children are going to learn from us. If they see us offering sacrifices, it will teach our children to bring an offering and make a sacrifice to the Lord. But if they see us withholding our offerings and they see us not making sacrifice to the Lord, where do we expect our children to learn how to follow the Lord? So even before the law, there was a law or a practice that God had given to those of old in how to follow Him and serve Him acceptably. So in the process of time, they brought their offering. Folks, do you know that what we place priority on as parents, many times our children will also learn to place priority on it? And it is true that our children will not always do everything that we teach them when they get out on their own. But I also, it is something and amazing for me to watch that children that have rebelled many times against the teaching of their parents at a young age, as they grew older, you see their lives coming back more and more into conformity to what they had been taught as a child. It doesn't happen every time. But this is the reason that the scripture says that we should train our children and raise them in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord, because when they are old, they will not what? They won't depart from it. It doesn't mean, you folks, we cannot raise saints. We all understand that? There are some people that their children have turned out really well and all love the Lord, and it's almost like they start thinking, I have raised a saint. Folks, you can't raise saints. Because the only thing that brings us in to the kingdom of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. We teach them. We equip them with knowledge and with example. And in doing that, we are planting something in their hearts that even if they depart from Jesus Christ, they will never be able to depart from the knowledge that we have implanted in them as parents. But we can't, because when someone chooses to serve the Lord, the parent is wonderfully grateful. But they can't say, I did that. No, it was Jesus did that. And that means that if a child walks away from the Lord, it's not always the failure of the parent. Not one person said amen that I heard, but it's truth. And I'll give you evidence. The Lord God Himself, if anybody was a perfect father, and are there any perfect fathers here in the flesh or perfect mothers? You know, we've all made mistakes. But God, who was the perfect father, looked on His people and He said, I gave you the best that I could. I gave you a vineyard, the best vineyard. I planted the choicest vines. I put a wall around, a protection around you, and I gave you the best. But still, wild grapes grew up. You still departed from me. And God said, what more could have I done? Do you know that that ought to be for us today, that as parents we have responsibility to teach our children, to train our children, to set an example of sacrifice and offering for our children? But there may come a time that they walk away from that. But do you know that there's going to be something in their heart they're never going to be able to depart from? And it does not necessarily mean that you have failed them as a parent. Because we are all free moral agents, and we all come to a place that we have to make a decision in our own life. Am I going to follow the Lord, or am I going to walk the way of the world? But I appreciate the fact that Cain and Abel both brought a sacrifice to the Lord. Do you know that one of them, the scripture said that Cain, what did he bring? It said he brought the fruit of the ground, doesn't it? And at first glance, it seems right. If you're a farmer, what are you going to bring? You're going to bring the fruit and the vegetables. You're going to bring what you've been working with. And if you're a shepherd, will you bring the sheep? If you're a librarian, what do you bring? A book? In other words, you think about what does the banker bring? Money? At first glance, it seems logical that you bring what you have to the Lord. And it is at this point that there are many learned men and historians that go some very different directions in wondering, why did not God accept the sacrifice? And I'm going to share a few reasons for you, just for your consideration, but then I'm going to give you the Bible reason that we can stand on why the sacrifice was not acceptable. Said that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, and Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. He brought the best that he had. The firstlings weren't the leftovers. He brought the best. And the Lord had respect not only to the offering. I think this is important. It said he had respect unto Abel and to the sacrifice. It's not just the sacrifice, folks. It's the person that brings the sacrifice. It said here that the Lord, and unto Cain, or unto Abel, it said, unto Cain rather, it said unto Cain and to his offerings he had not respect. So the Lord did not have respect for Cain. There was something in the manner or the spirit in which Cain offered the sacrifice that was not acceptable to God. And I believe it's important for us to recognize, folks, that we can talk about what the sacrifice is. And we're going to deal with it just a little bit. But what is even more than the sacrifice is the one that gives the sacrifice. What spirit are you giving the sacrifice in? What is the manner of the sacrifice? I can come and I can put in $1 million. Well, I can't. But if I could, if I could put $1 million in the offering box, you could say, wow, that was quite a sacrifice. And maybe that's all the money I had. And you'd say, that really was. Whether it's $1 million or my 2 mites, like the widow. I gave everything. But if my spirit is, I don't want to do this. I'm not acknowledging the sin in my life. I don't want to do it, but I want the esteem of the people. And I want everyone to know what I'm giving, and I'm giving everything that I have. And that is my motivation. God will not have respect for me, regardless of what the sacrifice is. Folks, we can look at the sacrifice this morning, but if our heart is not humble before God and we're not giving and doing for the right reason, it has no value in the eyes of God. We live in a world that promotes to an extent sacrificing here and sacrificing that. But folks, the only sacrifice that is acceptable to God is that which is given in faith to the Creator of the universe. The reason I'm giving is because I'm bringing it to the Lord God and I acknowledge my neediness to the Lord. I trust we'll get hold that God did not have respect for Cain because his spirit was not right in what he was offering. There are some that have spoken as Cain, it said, offered of the fruit of the ground. One idea, and again, I just would like to share a few things. One of the thoughts is that it was literally the fruit of the ground. In other words, I'm not giving my best. I'm giving my leftovers. I'm not giving the first of my crops. See, before we even get into the issue of animal sacrifice, I'm giving the leftovers. Do you know sometimes folks right among us today that if we're not careful, we can give of the leftovers? And people say, well, now am I supposed to give before tax or after tax? Really? Have you ever thought about that? Do I give before tax or after tax? That sounds like you're talking about a tithe. The New Testament does not teach tithing, saints. It teaches giving. Tithing is of the law. Giving is what comes from your heart. And that is the only acceptable sacrifice. Amen? If you give, and I know we brought this out a while back, and some of the trustees gave me a check one time with a few cents on it. 32 cents. They were just letting me know, they were just having a little fun with me. Because do you know that when you give someone a check and it has 32 cents on the end of it, that tells me that's a tithe. I still appreciate tithes, but you know what? Before God, that's not what's going to cut it, folks. It's an offering. An offering is what is given from your heart. Offering is what I don't have to give this, but Lord, I come not grudgingly, or of necessity. Necessity means of the law. That's exactly what the word in the New Testament. Don't give grudgingly, that's your spirit, or of necessity, what is of the law. This is your tithe. And keep in mind, a true tithe is not 10%. I don't know where all the churches are getting that teaching today, but it sure didn't come from the full teaching of the Old Testament. If you're going to teach a tithe in the church, which is still wrong, it ought to be 20 to 30%. That's the true tithe of the Old Testament. There was a 10% tithe to the priest, there was a 10% tithe to the poor, and there was a 10% tithe for the feast, the religious feast in Jerusalem, and that was, I believe, every 3 years. So total it up, you've got, what, 23%. How many churches are teaching that today? Not many, right? But they want to keep a tithe at 10. Folks, in this dispensation, that's not what this is about. It is about offering from the heart. So when God looked on Cain, there was something in his spirit that was not acceptable in the manner in which he was offering to the Lord. And this is before the law of the tithe. All right? This is before the law of the tithe. But consider as well the difference of the sacrifice. Vegetable offering versus animal offering. An offering that one was without life, in essence, and one came by the shedding of blood. Folks, there is something here that is important, that both of them brought an offering. And in a sense, we could say, isn't that good? Because Cain could have not even brought anything. Cain brought an offering. This morning, we live in a religious world that is promoting praise and worship. Aren't they? Praise and worship, praise and worship. There is nothing wrong with praise and worship. Frankly, folks, we need more among us. But not to the exclusion of the heart worship of holy living before God. That's what brings about true praise and worship. It's a heart that's dedicated and consecrated in a life of holiness before God. But I'm thankful they brought an offering, but the offering wasn't acceptable. Do you know we can bring all the praise and worship to the Lord and it can be unacceptable to God? And many times people say, well, aren't you at least glad that they're going to service? And aren't you at least glad that they're giving some? And aren't you at least glad that, well, maybe humanly speaking we are, but how does God see it? God is looking at the condition of the heart, folks, in our sacrifices. He's looking at our motivations this morning. He's looking at what's prompting us and moving us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 23. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Folks, from the beginning, we find Adam offering a sacrifice of blood, don't we? From the beginning, we read of the patriarchs that offered a blood sacrifice, and it was pointing forward to the sacrifice of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that provided an atonement for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is one place, and I bring this out because I don't have all the answers on it. And so this is kind of called full disclosure, all right? Throughout the pattern of the Old Testament, the sin offering was one of blood, was it not? When the priests went to the altar, they applied blood to the horns of the altar. When they went by way of the golden altar, the high priest to go into the most holy place, it was only by the way of the blood that they could enter in. And it is only, and this is without debate this morning, it is only through blood that we have redemption into the inner court in the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only by the blood. There is no other sacrifice that we can make, that we can earn our salvation, because what we have done or what we have given, we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. We are saved by faith through grace. And that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. All the glory goes to Jesus, and we're only saved by the shedding of His blood. And so there is a pattern throughout the Old Testament that the remission of sins, although temporary in the Old, it was by the blood sacrifice of an animal. There was one provision made for those that could not even afford a bull, a lamb, two turtle doves. Do the poor like just bring two pigeons? If you can't bring anything, I'll bring two pigeons. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 11, There was a provision made for the poorest of the poor that said you bring fine flour. You can't afford a blood sacrifice. You bring your fine flour, a tenth of your fine flour to the priest, and he will take it, and he will make atonement for your sin for you. So that is one little caveat to what I'm sharing this morning, that there was a provision made, and what I get out of that is there is a provision that all of us can come to the altar. But it is also noteworthy that it is only through the blood of Jesus that the sacrifice took sin away. So there's that one little place that I know that the Jews take that and they run with it. And they evoke the efficacy of the blood of Jesus because of that point. You don't have to shed blood to find salvation. You can just let it go. It doesn't have to be by the blood of Jesus. That doesn't mean anything. That's not where the power is. And we stand against that theologically as well as experientially. It takes the blood of Jesus this morning to be saved. Well, when Cain brought his offering to the Lord did not respect it. Whether it was the leftovers, maybe it was. Because he was not a poor person. His brother's out keeping the sheep, and who was oldest? Cain was. Cain could have said, here, I need one of these sheep. He could have taken it. Adam Clark, and I know, and I'll just quote him specifically, because I know many of you are familiar with him, there is an offering that is a gratitude offering, okay? And it was a gratitude offering, and it was something that was mixed with, it was flour and frankincense and oil mixed. And the Jews practiced that, bringing that as an offering, but it was a gratitude offering, but it was not an offering of atonement of sin. Adam Clark tends to think that was the offering that Cain brought. In other words, we can have gratitude to God. Have you ever met people that they talk about God all the time? And they gave God thanks, the Lord really blessed me today, and he did this for me, and he did that for me. Do you know that that's good, but it's not enough? God did not accept Cain or his sacrifice. Gratitude is not enough, saints. He didn't accept it because where is the repentance? Where is the acknowledgement that I'm a sinner and I need God? I can say thank you, God, for multiplying. Thank you, Lord, for giving me fruit. I'm glad for people that are gracious to God. But folks, God does not accept it. Unless we couple it with the spirit of, I am a sinner and I need the blood of Jesus on my life because I'm not worthy. I trust we can get this. And this brings us to what we've written on the board this morning. And we're not getting near as far as I thought we would today. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. And this is, regardless of how you understand these sacrifices, this is what the scripture says. Hebrews 11 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why was it better? Why was it more excellent? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Folks, it was more than the physical sacrifice. And that brings us back to the point that was made. It said Abel offered his sacrifice by what? By faith. Let's get that in our heart. By faith. So the question is, how are we offering our sacrifices today? We can give. We can dedicate our lives. We can sacrifice. We can do all kinds of things. But folks, if it is not by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, our sacrifices have no merit. This is the ultimate reason. Whether it was the leftovers that Cain offered, whether it was just a gratitude offering, and like I said, commentate, you can go all different directions with it. But at the end of the day, we know God didn't accept it. And here we have one of the reasons was He didn't offer it by faith. It means more because Cain did offer a sacrifice, but he was not in total rebellion against God, folks. He was not in total rebellion against God. And yet God opposed him because it was not done in faith. It was not done in a spirit of contrition and in a spirit of acknowledgement that, Lord, I'm unworthy. You can have gratitude without acknowledging unworthiness. You can have gratitude without acknowledging, I need a Savior. And that's probably the crux of what happened with Cain and Abel. And we go ahead and read in the rest of this, and you know you're familiar with the story, most of you. But Cain's offering was not accepted, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Do you know what we're going to read next, and we're going to wrap this up here shortly. But this is a testament to the mercy of the Lord God. Hey, Cain, your sacrifice is not acceptable. Do you know that God did not pour out judgment on him? Have y'all remembered that with this story? God did not cut Cain off. He said, hey, Cain, just a minute. Hold on a minute. He said, why are you angry? He said, why is your countenance fallen? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, you know what you need to do. Go bring your best to me. Go get a blood sacrifice. Go do what you know you need to do and come with a spirit. Have you ever given something in the wrong spirit? Has anybody here besides me probably ever given out of necessity and maybe a little grudgingly? Well, I gave. At least I gave. Well, yeah, the recipient was probably glad you gave, but in the eyes of God, we're not getting any stars in our crown, folks, because he wants it to be a faith. And when we don't sacrifice our lives, we can give our bodies to be burned, but if it's not motivated because of our love for God, it profiteth us. The Lord wants us to start giving a more excellent sacrifice, folks. It's not enough to give our lives. It's not enough to give our money. It's not enough to give our time. What is motivating you? And the question is, are you giving your best? And when I say you, I've got more fingers pointing back at me. Am I giving my best? And I would ask you this morning in love, are you giving a more excellent sacrifice to the Lord? Or are we giving him some of our leftovers? If I make it, if I have time, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. If it's convenient, if I've got some extra money, I'll give some money. If I'm feeling really spry and I wake up early, I'll come to church Sunday morning. If things are convenient, I'll do what I need through the week for the Lord. Maybe I'll go work for the Lord somewhere and I'll... What kind of sacrifice is that? So the question is, and this is only for us to judge in our own heart because we all know where we are spiritually, individually, but are we giving a more excellent sacrifice? Are you giving, really giving the best that you have for the Lord this morning in your time, in your service, in your temporal offerings, in your heart service? Is it the best? Or is it like Cain, that maybe the spirit's not right? Or it's not in faith, or it's the leftovers. How are we doing this morning, saints? Is that a fair question? The Lord is looking for a more excellent sacrifice. This story here, and because of the time, I'm gonna respect that and you too. But the Lord gave him another opportunity. And he said, Cain, you know what you need to do. Do it over. Go back and redo it. And he said, and if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. You just gave me a sacrifice and you go away feeling good about yourself. But just a minute, I want you to know, Cain, I don't accept it because you didn't give me your best. You didn't do it in faith. And I don't accept it. And if you don't fix it, it's going to be sin to you. I am so thankful the Lord is not ready to impute sin on us without our knowledge and understanding. He gives us opportunity to fix and to correct. But if we refuse to correct what is wrong about our spirit or our sacrifice, that is when sin lieth at the door. And then it said that he said unto thee, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Some take this in context of sin, but more likely it's saying, you know what, Abel, he's still the younger brother. I know he did what was right and you didn't. And you know, there was something that rose up in him. God accepted him and not me. You know, that points to a spirit of jealousy. Do we talk about jealousy enough among us? Do y'all hear about jealousy and covetousness very much? Jealousy in relationships, well, they're closer to them, or, oh, they're friends with them, or, oh, they got accepted and I didn't, and, or they did. Jealousy is an ugly thing because that's what caused Cain resentment. And I believe Cain probably was more angry at himself than he was with his brother. You know, that's normally how it happens. But he took it out on his brother. He took it out on him. This is what jealousy will do, folks. It'll kill your spirit. And he ended up taking his brother's life. He called him out in the field. It was premeditated. Hey, brother, come walk out in the field with me. And he rose up and he slew him. And you know the rest of the story. And that is that God still had mercy on Cain. He still had mercy on him. Where's life for life? Cain said, Lord, when God was going to kick him out and send him on his way, Cain was like, Lord, this is too hard for me to bear. Some would say there was starting to be some contrition with Cain. He was starting to feel some spirit of repentance. And where there begins to be a little bit of repentance, God has mercy. God didn't kill him. God didn't put him to death. He said, okay, I'm going to mark you so no one else will kill you. That's a whole nother message, but talk about the mercy of God, even for one that did what Cain did. So I would like to I'd like to conclude with this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Folks, this is the sacrifice the Lord is wanting this morning. A more excellent sacrifice. A living sacrifice. He doesn't want what's dead. He doesn't want your leftovers. He doesn't want left what's convenient. He doesn't want a grudging sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice that over and over and over dedicates themselves for the work of God with their time and their love. In faith to the Lord, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. The Lord is not going to be unreasonable with you saints, but He's asking for a living sacrifice. If we present a sacrifice that's kicking and screaming and we haul it to the altar, it's not acceptable. Willing sacrifice of our own volition. One that goes on and on and on. And so as we conclude today, thank you for your time and attention. But I would have us lead with this thought in mind, in this question. Are we giving a more excellent sacrifice? Are you giving your best? Or is it left over? Or can the Lord look down and say, you know what, I accept you. Accept your spirit and I accept your sacrifice, whether it be small or great. I accept it because of the spirit in which you offer it. Folks, I want to be found offering a more excellent sacrifice to the Lord because I am desperate for His approval in my life.